7th week in Decisions and God's Will, and probably I probably should have titled it a little bit more Decisions and God's Will in the Midst of Difficulty or Facing Difficulty, but there's kind of principles that overlap both ways. And so I've been spending 7 weeks, I actually have 3 weeks left in this one chapter of the Bible, Exodus chapter 14. And so hopefully it's been meaningful to you and you're growing and understanding. And I'll just review the story for some of you that are just hearing this morning. And we'll kind of walk through the points that we have reviewed, just the headline point. And then we'll get into the context of this morning's message. Let's just bow our head in prayer. Father, I just pray as we look at your word today, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go where my words cannot. And I pray that we'll go reach into the spirit, the heart, the mind, the emotion, the will of everyone in this room. And I pray, just give us direction, help in our relationship with you and how you want to guide our life and help us in the face of difficulty and challenge and the decisions that we have to make and in keeping with your will. We give you all the praise and all the glory in your name. Amen. The book of Exodus is a book of exits. That's what that word really means. And it was God's people who were exiting out of Egypt, which is connected to Israel, God's promised land, God's homeland. And we know that if we study the very beginning of Exodus, there was, God gave 10 plagues because God's people were in bondage for 400 years, and he sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh and to cause God's people to be released out of Egypt. It represents in all of our lives that there's all certain bondages, of course, sin. We go through different bondages in life, fear, anxiety, worry, trouble. And it represents that we serve a God that has the ability to release us out of whatever bondage, difficulty we face in life, no matter how long. There's some of you in life, maybe you had some trouble that started last week, and you're going to make some decisions, you're going to get through it next week. But there's others of you in this room that have been battling things for a long time. Maybe it's been a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever. But this story paints the picture that God, no matter how long the bondage, no matter how long the difficulty, he has a way to lead you in decisions, his will, to guide you out and into a healthy place. And that's the kind of God that we serve. And so in the big picture of this series that is I want you to see that we serve a God who delivers, a God who parts the sea, a God who makes a way when there is no way. So we come to chapter 14, and what we've really been looking at is he leads them out of Egypt. They start into the wilderness, and Pharaoh's army decides to pursue them, to come behind them, to chase them. He didn't want to release them. He released them reluctantly, and he just started pursuing them. They find themselves camping by the Red Sea. So if I could just paint the picture here for a moment, and I'm going to just expand on this in a moment. So let's just say that Egypt is back behind that wall, and there's mountains that are surrounding, and let's say you're camping by the sea. We'll call this stage the Red Sea. So you're camping, and you're there, and you got to make decisions. You look at, and there's not just you, there's a million people. There's 600,000 men plus women and children. There's over a million people, like the city of Milwaukee, that is camping by this Red Sea. And everybody sees the Philistines coming. They see the problem. They see the difficulty. And they look at mountains. Do they fight? Do they give in? The sea's in front of them. It's stopping them. And to make a long story short, we know, because we can look in hindsight, God makes a way for them. He parts the Red Sea so that all 1 million people can go through. And that's the picture that's painted in Exodus 14. And I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what trial, what challenge, whatever decision you got to make, you serve a God that could part the sea. He's not going to part the Red Sea for you because that was a story for them. But it's telling us who God is, the nature of God, and he wants you to understand that. He wants you to learn that. And that's what we've been working on for these last several weeks. So we've gone through some strategies here. Let me just give them to you quickly. So in verses 1 and 2, we looked at you're where you're supposed to be. So in other words, God, where they were camped by the Red Sea, they were right where God wanted them. And he was going to lead them by decision, by his will, from that place, even though it was difficult, challenging, it was camping, it was temporary. Maybe you're in a situation that you're facing right now. Maybe it's just temporary. And that's the way it was. Verses 1 and 2, they were camped by the Red Sea. And so Whatever things, wherever God's going to lead you, He's going to start from where you're at in life right now. Whatever your situation, because we always want to be somewhere else. We always want to be back where it was better at some other time, or we want to be too far ahead, but God has you where you are right now, and He did them right by the Red Sea. That's right where God wanted them. He started them from that point. Number two, be more concerned for God's glory than your relief. We're always looking for relief. But God says, I want to show who I am to the Egyptians. I'm going to show my honor over to the Egyptians, who God really is. He wanted to show His honor over to the children of Israel. And so let's be focused. If you're going through a problem or difficulty, and you can say, your immediate reactions is, here's our immediate reaction. How can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? That's our immediate. Like, can we put the thing in the microwave and just nuke it for 30 seconds and get out of our problem, okay? That's our thinking. But let's ask ourselves a different question. Say, God, here I'm in this trouble, this situation, decision, don't know what to do. Say, God, how are you going to be glorified? How are you going to be glorified? I'll tell you, it'll put a whole new perspective, because then you're going to watch God interact and God free you in that situation. Number three, focus on the Lord instead of the enemy. We're not going to focus. Here, Moses didn't focus on all the Philistines. Oh, they're coming. And focus on all them. He says, I'm going to focus on the Lord and not the enemy. Number four, pray. And in verse 10, they prayed. When they prayed in verse 4, it says they cried out to the Lord. That's oftentimes an Old Testament word for praying. They cried out to the Lord. And when they did that, they did not know what God was going to do. They had no idea when they prayed that God was going to part the sea. When you pray, you never know what's going to happen, what God's going to do. That's the exciting part about prayer. You never know what God's setting up for you. Prayer sometimes is challenging. Prayer sometimes is lonely. We want to be doing something. God, what can I just do for you? What can I just fix for you, God? I'll do it myself. But when you pray, you never know what God's going to open up for you. Verse 10, they didn't know. We have the advantage. We can look what happened after that. God parted the sea. But in your situation, you pray. Say, God, here's what I need, and let God work His thing. We're going to talk about that even more next week. So number five, stay calm. Okay, so we prayed. in verses 11 and 12, it talks about how the mind goes off, and their mind just starts, like our mind starts going, we start every imaginary scenario, this goes wrong, what if this goes wrong, what if, and they did that, verse 11 and 12. But in verses 13 and 14, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. God says, I'm going to take care of this for you. Before He did it, God put something in their spirit, says, I'm going to take care of this thing. He spoke a word into their heart that they can understand it. So if you're facing trouble today, say, God, stay calm. Our mind's going to go, and just give God time. Give God time, and He's going to work through that situation. Number six is, when unsure, we talked about this last Sunday morning, take the next logical step. God told them to stop crying now and to get up and move forward in verse 15. Now, that's kind of funny. When I say logical, that logical to start getting up and moving toward the sea, that's not logical. Sometimes God asks us to do things that don't seem too logical, but they're what He wants us to do. Because He's going to solve it in a way we can't solve. And so this word logical, parentheses, but we take the next step by faith. But God told Moses, tell them to stop crying and move forward. And so that takes us to this morning. Number seven is alert your awareness to God's presence, verse 19 and 20. I'm going to read those two verses in just a second. I have them on the screen. Just not yet, Ashley. So as we think about this, alert your awareness to God's presence. What does that mean? This morning I was leaving home, and normally when I leave my driveway at home, I've done it so many times, I just like you, and my car's not facing forward out of our driveway, it's facing backwards. I got to drive backwards to get on my driveway, but I can do it with my eyes closed. And I just, boop, and I just back into the street, and I'm on my way. But this morning, when I went to leave, I had a trailer hooked on to the back of my car. So I got in my car and I said, man, Lord, this is a good illustration. I had to alert my awareness that I had a trailer on the back of my car and I just couldn't do my vroop thing out of the driveway. I had to make sure I didn't buckle that thing and I had to go slow and I had to alert my awareness that I had a trailer on the back of my car with a rototiller in it. So this whole idea this morning, and you're going to see it in the text here this morning, is in the midst of all, everything I just talked about, God's presence after their prayer is going to show up. And so this morning in our lives, in your situation, whatever you're dealing with, I want to invite you to alert your awareness to God's presence in your situation. So let's look here in verses 19 and 20. That is our text, two verses this morning. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Now, let's just paint the picture here with our little scene, okay? So our little scene is here, they're camping out here, they're kind of with you, and I should have had you turn your chair, I'm not going to do it, turn your chairs in four so you act like you're camping this morning, okay? So they're all there camping. They're frightful. They're all talking to one another. Those guys are coming. What is going to happen here? We don't know what to do. But we know that in chapter 13, God is, once they came out of Egypt, God brings a pillar of cloud to lead them by day, and he gave them a pillar of fire to lead them by night. God did not leave them wandering. He led them. So that, as they were here, this pillar of cloud was somewhere out over the sea. They're camping there. They can all see it. They're facing it. They were following this cloud and this, and I don't know the configuration of that, but that's how he led them. But this is what God does, and this is what I want you to see in your text that we're going to look at this morning, and I'm just describing it, and then we'll get into the things that we can gather from it this morning, is God changes gear. When you deal with God's presence, we as Americans, we like things, you know, let's sing three or four songs and then let's get to the announcements, the offering, and let's get to the message. We like things, but God messes stuff up when he's working in his presence. So God takes that cloud, they're all camping there, and the cloud, he moves, it says here, what we just read in your Bible, he took the cloud, it says the angel of the Lord went in front of them, and the cloud he took and it went behind them. And what happened is night and day changed. It became daylight to them, and it became night to the enemies, so they could not see what was happening. God's presence changed the scenario, and he came, and he met them, and he began to help them, and he began to pave the way for them to move forward. So from these two verses, I want to just give you four things. I can't deal with all the presence of the Lord in all of the scripture, all the Bible. I'm going to try to confine my remarks, and I will drift to a couple others to show you how God operates and God works. But I'm just going to, just the few minutes we have, just four things that we can learn about God's presence in this particular two verses that we're looking at right now. Number one is God's presence is real. God's presence is real. So what we can gather here as we look at this in verses 19, it says, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved from, so in other words, God is there and God is present and God is real in their situation. You have a situation in your life, you ever say, God, where are you? Feels kind of lonely out here. God, are you going to show up in my situation? Anybody, okay, I've said it. Anybody else have said it? Okay, raise your hand, you honest people. Okay, yeah, I got you. Now you're honest, we're getting somewhere. But here's the truth of what the scripture says, and this says this four times in the Bible. It says it in Hebrews 13:5 in the New Testament, Deuteronomy 31:6, 31:8, Joshua 1:5. he says this, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though we don't maybe sense God in our situation, his promise is, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. If I could just let that thing sink into our spirits, I could stop the message right now if I could get that into you so deeply. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's a good God. That's not based in our feelings. That's not based in our fickle emotions. That's based in truth. I don't care in this room right now what you are dealing with, what you are facing. God is telling you this morning, he is real, and he's saying, I will never. Never is a strong word that we shouldn't use in human relationships, right? Never, always. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. In one of the instances in Deuteronomy 31:8, in fact, if you, I preach from the New King James Bible. If you want to go, to, just go a couple chapter or a couple books over to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Pentateuch. And look at this one verse. It's so powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And some of you guys have electronic Bibles, I get it, okay? Those work pretty cool. I still can't give up my paper Bible. Even though I read the electronic thing sometimes, ooh, I got a paper Bible. Okay. In verse 8, look at this, what it says. Another one time it says this. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Maybe somebody in this room needs that. You don't need to hear the rest of the message this morning. You just camp on that right there. Deuteronomy 31:8. Let's go back to Exodus 14. God is spirit. So God is spirit, it says in John chapter 4. The attributes of God in systematic theology, God has four attributes. And they are these. That number one, God is omnipotent. Omni is all, and potent is powerful. God, an attribute of God is that he is omnipotent, omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Another quality of God, an attribute of God, is he's omniscient. Omni, all. Omniscient is where we get the word science. He is all-knowing. So, but God is spirit, but he is all these things. And he is, another one, he is immutable. In other words, God never changes. When I said he will never leave you nor forsake you, that's a truth because God is immutable and he cannot change. And the last one is he is this word, omnipresent. Omni, all or everywhere, present. He is omnipresent. In other words, God this morning is here. He is always. He is everywhere. He is here and he is present, omnipresent. And so how do then we gather that in our lives? Let me just start at church in a way that maybe you could recognize. And you know how we sing in church, and you guys are a little quiet this morning, usually just a little bit more robust in singing. You guys are a little quieter today. But there's some songs, and you'll recognize this when I begin to talk about it. There are some songs that we sing that just have something special about them. There's songs that we just sing, they're truth. There's songs that we sing that are truthful. Maybe it's an old hymn, maybe it is a newer chorus, and the truth that talks about what Jesus did on the cross, he died for us. I mean, it just there's beautiful theology in the songs, and we sing them as factual knowledge. But there's other songs that come along, and we sing them, and there is just, in your terminology, you might say, there's just something special about that song. But the truth is, that song has a special anointing with it. There's just something that resonates deeper than up here. It resonates in your spirit, your heart, your mind, and you can almost feel it inside of you. There's just something that God's presence is with that song. Are you all with me right now? You know what I'm talking about? Last Sunday morning, We sang the song No Longer Slaves, written by, I think, David Helzer. And we're singing that song, and there's just something about that song, No Longer Slaves, and it talks about this, he parts the sea, and I mean, it's just an anointed song, and I mean, you're just drawn into God's Spirit, God's presence is there, and ba-boom! It goes deeper than just words, because there's God's presence is just there in a little special way. That song we sang this morning, Surrounded, this is how I fight my battles. Mm-hmm. There's just something with it. Last Sunday morning, I'm sitting up here. Chris is leading. I'm sitting up there, tears coming down my eyes. 2 weeks before, I'm in the car driving to Wichita, Kansas. I'm listening to that song. I got that thing cranked as loud as I can in my car, going in some godforsaken place in Iowa. I'm sorry if you're from Iowa, okay? And man, I'm just having church in the car and tears coming down my face. And this is how I fight my battles. And it's just something that I'm just trying to gather a way that you can recognize in some sort God's presence. In this, and you know what I'm talking about. We have four kids. Our daughter Brittany's back in the back row back here. And her name, she was named after Bob Kilpatrick's daughter. We were on a missions trip in Mexico. And Bob Kilpatrick was a songwriter and just a, kind of did fun lyrics and just loved the Lord. And one day he went to his devotion. He was having devotions, and he meant the song to go nowhere other than by his piano and guitar. And it was a song that went, In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified. And I can't sing, so I'm not going to try, okay? And he just sang this chorus. That little song in his devotions ended up going worldwide in every denomination. He had no intention for it to go anywhere. And because it was just God's presence was with it, God's anointing was on it, and it touched the lives of people from all denominations, all backgrounds, just the simple words, in my life, Lord, be glorified, and everybody sang it, and it just lifted everybody. And so we would recognize this attribute of God's presence in this way. Many of those authors that write those, there's a special dependence on the Holy Spirit when they write them, and God just uses them, whether they're suspecting or non-suspecting. Old Testament word, there's a word that defines God. He's not only spirit, he's omnipresent, but he's Jehovah Shammah. It means that God is there or God is here. And last Sunday morning, I'm worshiping up here. Chris is leading, Pastor Chris is leading, and I'm just like, because God was amongst us. God was just hanging out here. And I could sense that. The scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And God's presence moves your heart. It moves your emotion. Sometimes in church we say it this way, when there's this, God's presence is everywhere, right? But sometimes we'll say, well, there's a special presence of God here. Or the Lord is present here in a special way. Or the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Or God's glory is here. Or I sense his anointing. Sometimes those words that we use, and there's just something special about the moment that we say. And we're saying that God's presence is real. So when can that presence come in a special way? And I'll get to more defining that in a few moments. It can come when you're not even expecting it. It can come in the midst of some of your greatest trial and your greatest concern. And that's what happened in their text here. God's presence came to them in the midst of incredible trial, incredible difficulty. God's presence showed up in a specific way. And I'm going to show you the point of that at the end of the message and why that is. So let's just look at this a little bit closer. In these two verses, he was there in presence. They could not see him, but they could see the effect of him being there. And look what it says here. In verse 19, it says, And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went before. Now look at this. It says, the angel of God who went before the camp. And then it says, it moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind. I always looked at this. A lot of people think that God was in the cloud. But it says here that the angel of God was in front of the cloud. They couldn't see him, but he was there. He was there watching for them, helping them through this trial, helping them through this difficulty, helping them through the decisions. Do they fight? Do they give in? Do they go forward? Do they walk through a sea? He was there to help them. What does this angel of the Lord mean? It means, Isaiah later explains, the angel of his presence saved the Israelites. It says that in Isaiah 63:9. The angel of his presence saved the Israelites. God works and manifests himself, of course, through God, through the Father, through Jesus the Son, through the Holy Spirit, through his messengers. He manifests his presence. One time when our church was young and we were in a couple years into it, and I remember Kirk and Mia, you came to the church. We were meeting in a basement of an elementary school that is now a maintenance building for St. Norbert College. And the church met in there for about 6 months. I thought I was going to die. Welcome to church. We entered through the lower door, and we had church in there for about 6 months. And it was hard. But we had another building that was on Main Street. We were going to build out, and we were there. And man, so every Sunday morning, you know what it's like going to basement to church? Whoo! There's better places. You ever go into your basement? Go into your basement to church? Oh, that's pretty tough. So that's where we were. So I'm sitting there trying to preach in faith and power, and there we are. And man, I hit a low point. And one time I said, God, I people are wonderful, but I just need to know your presence is with us. I said, God, and you know what I did? I went to some music into a church that I knew that there was anointing on their music, and I knew that there was a church of prayer, and I just let the music minister to me. I let the church minister to me and help bring me out of that period. It didn't take long, but it just met me, his presence in a special way. And I could once again be reassured that something I should have already known, that God's never going to leave me or forsake me. I just need to be reminded in that moment, in that place. And you've probably had places like that. The part of this meaning of his presence in the Old New Testament, it means this, where God looks at your situation, and in essence, the definition of the word is he like makes a special appearance in your situation. Okay, I'm going to define that as we get to the end of the message. But God looks at your situation specifically, and he makes an appearance in your situation. I was talking to Tony before church, and he told me, he says, Pastor, I'm coming to church. He's here early getting set up for sound. And this was in my notes, Tony. He says to me, God blessed us yesterday. He said, we had our house up for sale. He said, we put an offer on another house in Wrightstown, and he said, we wanted, but and he says, you never believe the offer, Pastor, came in 10,000 over what we ask. And then there was some other up. It went up even more than that. Is that correct? Somebody else came in, or is that the same thing? I was between two people. I can't figure it out. But anyway, God took care of him. And what is that? God just, his little presence, loving Tony and Holly, they're growing in the Lord, and he loves them and just comes along in a little way and just special. To help them, bless them. Is there faith in the Lord and they're giving and they're honoring God and God just comes along and he just touches their life. I threw that in for free. It wasn't even this morning. So a prayer request then, in verse 10, they prayed. God, they cried out, Lord, God, we don't even know what to do here. And prayer is a request for God to look at your situation, a special appearance at your situation, your need, a calling out for help. And God can do that for a person, he can do that for a group. And that's what, when you pray, you're saying, God, I need you to show up in my situation. I need you to look at the situation I'm dealing with. I need you to, quote unquote, he's everywhere, but I need you to make appearance, God, in my situation. I need you. As a group, that's where they were in this text. In verse 10, they called out, said, all together. Man, that must be the biggest prayer meeting that was ever in the history of the world. God help, they're coming. We're going to die. And God showed up. Some of you say, Pastor, at work, is God real at work in our situation at work, wherever I'm at? Yeah, he is. There's a fascinating passage of scripture. I'm going to be real fast about this. You might be here, might be a machine operator, might work in an office receptionist, might be a mechanic, might be a graphic artist or a retail or something else you're doing. Can you experience this? Pastor, isn't this just for church leaders? Isn't this just for the Bible? No. Here's one instance in Exodus 31, 3-5. and it was a certain man, and it says here, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in the cutting of jewels, for setting, in carving of wood. Here's a woodworker, to work in all manner of workmanship. In other words, what was this saying? That God's presence, God's Spirit can be with a worker no matter what you do in your situation. Isn't that awesome? God's with you no matter what you do during the week. He can be there with you. And I love how that passage paints this. You say, Pastor, how can I nurture this? You can nurture it in alone time, in prayer time, and opening the scriptures on your own, and reading and devotional times. I encourage you to do that. Maybe you just get involved with our chapter up thing where you're reading five chapters a day with us, and it's through the book of Mark right now. And just get involved. Just nurture, and God begins to speak. Praise and worship. God just begins to speak around the altar. Why do I call you around the altar many Sundays? It's because it's a place to nurture the presence of God amongst us as a group. The scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you because his presence is real. That's why he says that. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. My presence is real. David, in the Bible, he says it this way. Personally, I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. I love what David says that way. God's presence, church, is real for all of us to experience. Number two, God's presence directs. These last 3 points are very short. God's presence directs. I have a friend who's a missionary. He's actually on that back wall. He's in Moldova this morning as a missionary, or whatever part of the day they are in. I can't remember. They're ahead of us, about 8 hours. They're probably getting ready to go to bed. And Troy and Heidi are there in Moldova as missionaries. And they were changing assignments, and he always referred to it this way, God's moving the cloud. God's moving the cloud. In other words, that was just his way from a biblical instance of God's directing. And here, God was directing them. And so in chapter 13, verse 21, he was directing them by a cloud by day, a fire by night. God's presence, through that way, directed them for 40 years with that cloud out in front and that fire. But here, in this situation, as we look at these two verses, God was clearly directing them through his presence. He says, I'm in front of you, but now I'm going to go behind you to direct you into the sea and on your way. And so he says this, and the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and a light to the other. So what was God doing with his presence here? He was directing them. As you pray, as you ask God, God, I need direction. I need to make a decision in this situation. God, what is your will? If you'll rely and alert yourself to his presence, he will direct you in the way that you should go. God's presence gives peace and order. If you have peace about whatever decision you're making, move forward. If you don't have peace about it, don't move forward. A couple weeks ago, I was dealing with a decision for the church and something, and I just didn't have peace about it. And I was like battling, what do I do here? And I didn't have peace, so I didn't go forward. And you know what? I didn't go forward, and God took care of it all by himself. It was just, he took care of it. Number three, in this passage, these two verses, we can learn a third thing. God is real. His presence is real. His presence directs. His presence protects. Can I tell you what, today, in this culture, the evil that's all around us, our marriages, our families, we need God's presence. We need to recognize God's presence in our lives. We need God's presence to protect us from lawlessness, to protect us from evil, to protect your kids, to protect your marriages, to protect your families. You need God's presence in your life. I'm encouraging this morning to alert your awareness to God's presence. Well, it's actually a biblical truth. In Psalm 23, verse 4, listen to this. I will fear no evil, for what? You are what? With me. Oh. So recognize God's presence there to protect us. The enemies were charging. And so what did God's presence do? He moved the cloud. He positioned the cloud. He took his presence and he put himself in a place behind them to protect them. The scripture uses other terminology like God is your rear guard. Can I tell you what? As you alert yourself to his awareness and his presence, you're going to recognize that God's presence is there to alert you and to protect you from evil. And can I tell you what? It's all around us. There was stuff I was looking at the news this morning or yesterday, and it just about made my stomach turn, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. You need God's presence to protect you in this day and age of which we live. Psalm 5:12. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Surrounded. Psalm 37:7-10. You are my hiding place, God. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. We sang that in that song, I'm No Longer Slaves. He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. How many of you are glad that the mercy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, surrounds us in our life? His shield surrounds us. That song, Surrounded, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. It may look like they were surrounded by the Philistines, but what was the truth? God had them surrounded with his presence. The same is true in your life and mine. And last Psalm 46:1. God is a very present help in trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. Number four, God's presence gives rest. Now, this is amazing. When you're under this kind of pressure, they could see the enemy coming after them. They could see the Philistines bearing down on them. And you know what God did when he moved behind them, his presence moved behind them? You know one reason he did it? He did it so that they could have rest before they went through the Red Sea. When you're under this kind of pressure and decisions and what to do, you know, when we get under pressure with decisions, we do one of two things. We panic or we want to go to sleep. In this situation, he says, I'm going to change night and day here for you so that you could rest. And the next verse says that while, and I'm not going to get into it, I'm going to deal with this next week, but while they rested, while he changed the night and day, they slept, and during the night, it says, he brought the east wind and separated the waters in the Red Sea. While they were sleeping and resting from the pressure of the enemy, he gave them rest. And my last point this morning is, God's presence will give you rest. You say, Pastor, can you back that up by a couple places of Scripture? I sure can. Later in Exodus, Moses, the Lord is having an interaction with Moses. In Exodus 33, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight." That's some Old Testament grace. "And consider that this nation is your people." And here's what the Lord responded in verse 14. "And the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I don't know what's going on in your heart and life this morning, or today, or this week, or this month. I pray as you walked in this room this morning, there's something in the midst of this presence of God that your spirit, your soul, is at rest in this moment. Rest in the presence of the Lord. And that's what God did for them. You all have various pressures in this room, difficulties, challenges, stuff you're dealing with. But I want to tell you, God's presence will give you rest. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes and a group of 120 people and affected the whole area of Jerusalem. And afterwards, you read the later part of it, it says they were rejoicing in their homes and they were eating together and they were resting as the presence of the Lord was poured out in Acts 2. Let me be done, and I just conclude here. The presence of God changes lives, and it did here at the Red Sea. I want to just conclude by pointing you to the definition of this word presence out of the Old Testament. So this is, it's a take-home for you, and you can see it. Let's go to the next slide. In Acts chapter 3, I'm just going to tell you the story that Peter and John come up to a lame man at the temple gate, and he was a beggar, and he was asking for money. And Peter and John say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And that's the largest part of the story through two-thirds of the chapter of chapter 3. And then in verse 19, it says this way, and I'm paraphrasing the first part, turn to God. But it says this, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I say, Pastor, what does that mean? Follow me, and you're going to be blessed. Here's what that means. This lame man who was there, he needed God's presence to show up. His situation was irreversible. He was lame from his mother's birth. How in the world is this situation going to change? This word, presence, the two roots of the word in the original language of the Bible that you find here in the Greek word, the two words means, the beginning root of the word means advantage, and the second part of the word means to optimize. You know how we got these crazy phones? My phone's in my office. It's not here right now. And we always want to optimize everything as Americans. I want to get a bigger TV screen, and I want to optimize this, and I want to get my phone, and I want to optimize this or everything, so I can what? See it clearer. When Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus, walk," to that lame man, when he got up and walked in the face of the presence of God, how many of you think that his view of God was optimized in that situation? Oh yeah, it was optimized. In the situation that we've studied here, they prayed, the presence of God goes behind them, the sea parts in front of them. How many of you believe that million plus people, their view of God was optimized of who he really was? And that's what this word means. When you recognize the presence of God in your life, in these special moments, God's everywhere. God's everywhere present. He's not going anywhere. He says, "I'll never leave you or never forsake you." But there's times in your life when you need God to just something special. God, I just right now need you optimized in our life, our situation, whatever we're dealing with. There's maybe some in this room right now that you don't know God. And this verse essentially says, it's said a little different way, it says, turn to God so that he can optimize himself to you. And what does it say? So that times of refreshing, not dread, not misery, not turmoil, that times of refreshing come from where? The presence of the Lord. So this morning, church, God is real. His presence is real. His presence directs. His presence protects. And here we see that his presence gives you rest. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to deal with the next couple of verses where the water parts. And the presence of God precedes miracles. And maybe you're in this room right now, you just need to say, God, if the truth is in your life, maybe it's a health situation, maybe it's a marriage situation, maybe it's a kid situation with one of your kids, something going on, work situation. We serve a God that he wants to optimize himself to you. He's not going to part the Red Sea again, but he can part the way in your life. And I'm going to talk about the miracle that happened in the parting of the Red Sea. His presence precedes miracles. You know, a lot of times, there's all kinds of different churches out there. different sizes, different this or that. I want you to know where my heart's at. I care much more that God's presence is in our midst than our size. I want you to know when you come here, you can say when you left, somehow God is there. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. But I want you to know that when you walk out these doors, God is there, Jehovah Shammah. More than anything else you learn, no matter how good or bad I exegeted the scriptures that morning, no matter how firm or less firm you shook my hand or you shook each other's hands, or if Chris hit a note that was off key or he hit everyone in perfect key. I had this youth pastor. He I loved him. But he's working with our young people. And he was worried about all the lights. Were the colors just right and were the this spinning stuff going on? And there's nothing wrong with this stuff. But his verbiage, all I heard was, is everything just right? I wanted to look back at him and said, is God there? Church, can I just tell you, most important thing in our life is that God is in the midst of us. He's in the midst of your family, your life. He's optimizing himself in you. Let's stand together this morning. Could we do this as we close? We're going to go home. And can I just be honest? You guys didn't sing your best at the beginning. Can you sing your best right now? And are we going to do Surrounded? Can you do that again? Do Surrounded? And can we sing our best before we go home in praise and worship? We're recognizing His presence is with us. Feels like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by Him. This is how I fight my battles. I praise and worship. I come to the communion table. I open His word. His presence is here. That's how I fight my battles. His presence was there with them by the sea, camping there. His presence was a much better way to fight their battle than those guys going out trying to duke it out with those Philistines. Chris, lead us. Every voice in this room, as loud as you possibly can, even if you're a terrible singer like me, the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's close our service with this. Chris, lead us.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how, one more time. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how. Amen.
Well, I praise the Lord. Yeah. A couple of our prayer partners are coming. If you need prayer for anything before you leave, we're going to dismiss everybody. But if you need prayer, a couple of our prayer partners will come and stand up here. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to turn to Him so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Others, you just may need somebody just to pray with you over something going on in your life. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. See you next Sunday.